Tonight to Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23, we have two more messages out of Psalms chapter 23. We'll be looking at tonight a few phrases, and on Sunday morning we'll be looking at the last phrase about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms chapter 23 this evening. I know a number of you have expressed how much you've enjoyed the sermon series. For you that have not enjoyed it as much, it's almost over. So there's only a few more times left with it, but there's things I think we can learn from it, and things that we can grow from it. And if we'll learn and grow, I think it will help us. And tonight's found in Psalms 23 is in verse number 5. It's the phrases, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." So let's go ahead and start off by just reading the whole psalm together. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So if we allow the Lord to be our shepherd, it's the key. David, from the sheep perspective, is saying, I know who my shepherd is, and if I follow him, then I'm not going to want. Then he begins to describe the circumstances. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." We looked at the things that makes the sheep lay down. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Talked about the importance of water, especially still waters, for a sheep. "He restoreth my soul." And I tell you, that one encouraged me a lot, and the idea that our souls can become very dry and can become downtrodden, and he's the one that can restore it. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness," referring to that he'll always lead us in the right way for his name's sake. And remember that God's going to keep his promises. He's never broken them. His name is on us. And verse number 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," death is a certainty, but we're always living in the shadow of that. But we do not have to be afraid. And then we talked about the encouragement. You know, the reason why we don't have to be afraid is because God's with us. The shepherd's with us. Not only is the shepherd with us, he's given us his rod and his staff. He says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Last Wednesday night, we looked at this thought, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Encouragement that's there, that God can provide in any circumstance, even in the presence of enemies, God can still provide. Then you have, "Thou anointest my head with oil," so we're going to look at tonight, "my cup runneth over." So not only does he prepare a table, he gives us more than we need. And then verse number 6, we looked at this past Sunday morning, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And talked about, as we follow the shepherd, it's a guarantee that goodness and mercy are going to follow. It's not always going to seem that way, but if we're following the shepherd, he's always going to provide for us, and he's always going to make things work together for good. And that last phrase is what we'll look at Sunday morning for a little while. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Enjoy that last song, sung by the fires. It's going to be a day, that's for sure. And what a day that will be, when my Savior I shall see. And when I look upon his face, wow, that's going to be a great day someday. But David didn't put that in till the end. He talked about how good the shepherd's been here to him even while he was going through that. Some shepherds or commentators believe he's talking about a whole season, a whole year, all the different seasons involved in this passage of Scripture. But tonight I'd like to look at, for the most part, "Thou anointest my head with oil." And then we'll take "my cup runneth over" just a little bit at the end. Anointing a person's head with oil. And 2 points tonight, the oil and the overflow. The oil and the overflow. To give you a little bit background or thoughts about things that happened with oil in the Bible, probably one of the most popular ones or most thought of ones, if I asked you something about, well, what's the oil things that you would think about in the Bible? And some people might think, well, that David getting anointed to be king, or some of the kings being anointed. I think of the oil that Mary of Bethany poured over Jesus' head. Remember in Matthew chapter 26, verse 6 says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat." The anointing of the head was a beautiful picture of love. It was a picture of courtesy and kindness, and also, it's something that the oil also has a background in the priest. Back in Bible times, the priest, it says, "And thou shalt take the blood," this is Exodus 29:21, "thou shalt take the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him, and he shall be hallowed, and his garments, and his sons' garments with him." And so what they're saying is, before they could ever go and make a sacrifice, they had to have two things, the blood and the oil. The blood was a representation of the future blood sacrifice that was going to be shed for sins, and the oil was a representation. Many times in the Bible, oil was a picture of the Holy Spirit. And as we approach the Lord, we don't approach him on our own merit. He taught this about the priests. They're not approaching him on their own merit, not just because they were from Levi, just because they were perfect, because they were not. But instead, we approach the Lord because of what the Lord can do and what the Lord has done. You know, they were saying, this is what the Lord's going to do. We look back upon what the Lord's done. I approach him on the merit of Jesus Christ, what he has accomplished for me through his work on the cross, and how it has been appropriated to me as I put my faith in him for my soul salvation. But the point is, not only is it a covering of his blood, but also his spirit is spiritless within us. So when you come to this phrase, thou anointest my head with oil, you know, how does that apply to us, and how does that apply to sheep and shepherds? And I'm doing some study and looking through it. There was different times when a shepherd would anoint the sheep's head with oil. I found it kind of interesting. Hopefully you find it interesting. Hopefully nobody falls asleep. But I found it kind of interesting, and I thought how it applies to us as believers. And I think David here would know what it was like to anoint a sheep's head and the reason for it, and how it applies to us also as believers today. So some of the times when a shepherd would anoint a sheep, first time, one of the main times is during fly time or during bug season. And you say, what does that mean? Well, fly time is a reference made to the hordes of insects that emerge when the advent of warm weather comes upon us. And I'm going to read a little bit, quote from a couple books, because I don't know much about it, but I wanted to make sure I get it correct. And the person said, only those people who have livestock or studied wildlife habits are aware of the serious problems for animals that are presented by insects in the summertime. Something that is an annoyance to us can be very dangerous to an animal, especially sheep. To name a few of the parasites that trouble sheep and make their lives miserable, there are warble flies, bot flies, heel flies, mosquitoes, gnats, and other minute wing parasites that cause problems during this time of year. Their attacks on animals can readily turn the golden summer months into a time of torture for sheep and drive them almost to distraction. Sheep are especially troubled by the nose fly. It's a nasal fly, as it is called sometimes. These little flies buzz around the sheep's head, and they're attempting to deposit their eggs in their damp mucous membranes of the sheep's nose. I know it sounds disgusting, but imagine if you're the sheep. If they are successful, the eggs will hatch a few days to form small, slender, worm-like larvae. They work their ways up the nasal passages into the sheep's heads. They burrow into the flesh, and they set an intense irritation accompanied with severe inflammation. So this is how they get relief. For relief from the agonizing annoyance, sheep will deliberately beat their heads against trees and rocks, posts, and brush. They will rub them in the soil and thrash around woody growth. In extreme cases of intense infestation, a sheep may even kill itself in a frenzied endeavor to gain respite from the aggravation. Often, advanced stages of infection from these flies will lead to blindness. Because of all this, when the nose flies hover around the flock, sometimes some of the sheep become frantic with fear and panic in their attempt to escape from their tormentors. And they will stamp their feet erratically. They will race from place to place. They are desperately trying to elude the flies. Some may run so much that they fall down in sheer exhaustion. Others toss their heads up and down for hours. They will hide in any place they can. They will not graze out in the open. All this excitement and distraction is devastating to the entire flock. Ewes and lambs rapidly lose condition and begin to drop in weight. The ewes will go off milking their lambs, and they will stop growing gainfully. Some sheep will even be injured in their headlong rushes of panic. Others may be blinded, and some, as we mentioned, killed outright. So how do you fix that? And it says, only by the strictest attention to the behavior of the sheep by the shepherd can forestall the difficulties of fly time. At the very first sign of flies among the flock, he will apply an antidote to their heads. to use a homemade remedy, something of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar, which will be smeared over the head's nose, the sheep's nose and head as a protection against nose flies. And it says it's an incredible transformation this would make among the sheep. Once the oil had been applied to the sheep's head, there was an immediate change in behavior. Gone was the aggravation, gone was the frenzy, gone was the irritability and the restlessness. Instead, the sheep would start to feed quietly again and soon lie down in contentment. So, you say, Pastor, what does that have to do with us? Well, I believe that it gives us a picture of what the Holy Spirit can do to protect us. You know, just as this ointment or this oil that they would rub upon the sheep's head and around the nose specifically, it would change everything. It would cause them not to be restless. It would cause them not to be irritated. It caused them not to be harming themselves. The Word of God teaches us if we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. Before I go any farther, let me say, you only get as much of the Holy Spirit as you get when you get saved. I know some different denominations or religions will talk about a second blessing. I believe that is referring to the filling of the Holy Spirit of God when we give our hearts and lives completely over to the Holy Spirit of God, and He will fill us and He'll control us, and we will feel like we have something we never had, but it was always available to us. I like the picture here in this anointing. It's because it's easy to get a fly in our ointment. It's easy to get distracted and upset and irritated and overwhelmed by something that could be small and could be minute and something that's little in comparison to everything else that's going on in the world. We let some small thing or minute thing cause us to go up the wall. And I like the one when they're talking about the sheep hitting their head against something. Sometimes, have you ever felt like it's banging your head against the wall because something's not going the way you thought? You're like, I guess wish that person would listen. I guess wish that person would understand. I guess wish that circumstances could be different. We allow small, petty annoyances to ruin our disposition. We allow little things to drive us off the wall and cause us to act in a chaotic manner, such as beating our heads against the wall. I know we're talking about figuratively. I don't think many people actually do that. Just as with the sheep, they must be continued and renewed with this application. The oil is not something you just do once. It's something you do throughout the year as the insects come back, just as we are confidently each day asking for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Going before the Lord on Sunday and saying, God, please fill me with your Spirit, is not something that's going to make it work for a whole month or for a whole week. It is daily going before the Lord and even multiple times a day and saying, Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want your wisdom. I want your anointing. I want your Spirit on me, so that way I can make sure that I'm not living in a way that is chaotic or act like you're not in control. It is God's gracious Spirit that counteracts the ever-present aggravations of personality conflicts. You ever met somebody who seemed as if they were calm in every situation, cool in every situation? And you look at them and say, what is going on? What's wrong with you? Do you not care? Do you ever see somebody who seems like they respond in the right way, and someone who seems like they have Christ, and the responses that they say as someone who has allowed the Holy Spirit to lead and direct them, and instead of being anxious and worried and fretful and fearful, instead you're staying focused because you have the Holy Spirit of God in control of your life. Now, trouble from day-to-day life reveals our need for Him. Even in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, when they were talking about how a child asks a father for bread, is he going to give him a scorpion? You remember that passage of Scripture? And at the end, it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So I want you to understand that it's something that we're not seeking for something we do not have. As a Christian, as a believer, we were anointed with the Holy Spirit. If you want to use that terminology, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and that's something that is always with us, but it is something that we should be praying and asking and giving control over to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want your Spirit to lead me and direct me. I want to have the mind of Christ. To me, it's both logical and I think it's legitimate as a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And there's often times when I can remember memorizing this verse and praying, give me your Holy Spirit in a greater avenue in my life. I want Him to lead me. I want Him to direct me. Even in Psalm chapter 92, verse 10, it says, but my horn shall be exalted like the horn of a unicorn. And He says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I think every day when we get up with the Lord and we spend time with the Lord can encourage us, and the Lord can work in our hearts, and the Lord can work in our mind, and ask him, Lord, I want to put you in control of my life. I want the Holy Spirit's fruits to bear in my life, the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those fruits, I want them to be showing. I don't want it to be showing like I can't handle even the little things that are the big things that come up in my life. I want it to be shown that I have God in control, and I'm not frantic. I'm not like these sheep who are just driving and going every which way and back and forth, worried and upset, overwhelmed all the time. You've anointed my head with oil. I can have rest and I can have peace because you've taken care of me. So you see, the first time that the shepherd will anoint the sheep is during fly time. Now, the other two are not as long, but I think you'll understand the points, is during scab time. Not only during fly time, there's something called scab time. Another time the shepherd anoints the sheep with oil is during scab time. Scab is an irritating and highly contagious disease common among sheep the world over. It's caused by a microscopic parasite that proliferates in warm weather. Sheep, I don't know why, but sheep love to rub their heads together in an affectionate and friendly manner. That's how they say hello at times. And so often, scab is found around the head. When two sheep rub together, the infection spreads readily from one to another. In the Old Testament, it was declared that the sacrificial lamb should be without spot, without blemish. This is one of the things they would be talking about. It could not have scab or this type of disease. In very real and direct sense, scab is a sense of contamination. And I think you say, well, how does that apply to me? I know what a scab is, but the contamination that is referring to here is something that we can get when we rub heads or when we speak to others or we love the world too much. And as we love the world too much and we put too much of our affection or we spend too much time interacting with those and letting people influence us, we can have something that is transmitted to us, and the fact that we start looking at things the wrong way. And probably one of the most dangerous things is that scab can spread very quickly. In a Christian life, most of our contamination by the world is by sin, that which would defile and disease, and a disease that is spiritually comes through our minds by listening to the wrong people, by loving the world instead of the things of God. Often we get our heads together with someone else who does not necessarily have the mind of Christ, and we begin to listen to them. We begin to read about this on the internet. We begin to read other people's books that are not scriptural, that are not biblical. And when we do that, we begin to be contaminated, and we become contaminated with the world's views and the world's mindset. Just like the sheep, they were contaminating one another by their friendliness to each other. When we get too close to the world, you know what happens? We get contaminated. And how do you fix it? Same way. It was actually the same ointment, but instead of just anointing their head, they would anoint the head more than anything else, but instead they would have to anoint the entire body. And we have the same remedy also. It's the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is the only one that can keep us right. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that can keep us from contamination. And like you said in Luke chapter 11, 13, if ye then being evil know how to give gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask them? The last one, and when do the shepherds anoint the sheep, is, I found this one a little bit comical, is during mating season. He said during mating season, yes. As season changes, there is a time in changing of the flocks. This is a season of ruts or of mating, of great battles between the rams for the possession of the ewes. So the ram will do whatever it can to draw attention of the ewe. And think about it, as the necks of the monarchs swell and they grow strong. They strut proudly across the pastures. They fight furiously for the favors of the ewes. It says they crash heads, and thud of colliding bodies can be heard throughout the hours of day and night. The shepherd knows all of this. He knows that some of the sheep will and can actually kill or injure the maim each other in these deadly combats. So he decides on a very simple remedy. And the gentleman who wrote this is at this season of the year, he will catch the rams and he would smear their heads with grease. He said he would apply a generous quantity of axle grease to the head and nose of each ram. Then when they collided, there was in their great clashing battles, the lubricant would cause them to glance off each other in such a ludicrous way that they stood there feeling stupid and frustrated. And in this way, each of them, the heat and tension was dissipated and little damage was done. And once again, you go back to the beginning about we let the little things annoy us and get into our minds and our heads, and we get all worried and frantic, and the Holy Spirit of God's the one in control. Or if we would go up there and we try to rub or be close to the things of the world, and we let that kind of get into our hearts and lives and drive out the mind of Christ that should be in our hearts and lives. Here you see people butting heads with one another. You ever seen people in church butt heads with one another? Unfortunately, it happens. Among God's people, there is a considerable amount of knocking each other. There's a considerable amount of people not seeing eye to eye with other persons. We persist in trying to assert ourselves, become the top sheep. And a good many will become badly bruised and hurt this way. And how many people do we go to church, go to their houses, hey, will you come? He says, no, this person hurt me. Is that right for that person to make that excuse? No. Is it right for us to act, behave badly, to try to knock heads all the time? Once again, I'm not saying we put up with sin or we put up with compromise or we do things wrong or things ungodly. Obviously, we're not for that. But at the same time, I think it's a picture that the shepherd used to have to deal with the strong-willed people and the idea that they would want to butt heads with one another. And because of that, an anointing would fix that. And I wonder how many times have we got close to the Holy Spirit of God if that would fix the issues that came along with the butting of heads. I wonder if we all gave ourselves over to the Holy Spirit of God and to his working and moving in our lives, how often that would cause us to get along and be together in unity. So you see the oil. I would like to look for a little while about the overflow. The overflow. And I like this. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. And hopefully you got some interesting thoughts out of that and the pictures that you saw there and how that the Holy Spirit can help us with those areas in life, just as a shepherd helped the sheep during those areas. I think about the overflow. My cup runneth over. I think about that, and I think about the cup running over. That usually means you got more than you need or more than what the cup can hold. And I'm thinking in our own lives, if we are the vessel and the Holy Spirit fills us, and if he overflows in us, you know what's going to come out? The Holy Spirit of God. When we give ourselves over to him, and he my cup runneth over. And I think that's the way God intended our Christian lives to be, lived in the overflow. I've met some people who I believe live in the overflow who are people who are spiritually minded and people who are generating or producing the fruits of the Spirit, not in some way that's only for a little while, but it's all the time. You see them living in a life that they met with God that day. God has spoken to their heart, and they want to genuinely reach people and help people, and they've given themselves over to the Lord, and you see that they are not just satisfied with, I'm saved and I got the Holy Spirit in me, but instead they're living a life that is full and it's overflowing. They've met with the Lord, and their hearts are full with the love of Christ, and their hearts are full with what God's doing, and all it can do is naturally come out. You ever heard a preacher that preached that way, and you're thinking, man, where did he get all that from? Or you met somebody who seems like they got the Christian life. They're not someone who is, trying to make it. They're not someone who is just humbug around. They are someone who is living in the overflow. They've let God work in their heart. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. God, you give me so much that I cannot contain it. I must give it to others. So let's think about a couple things about living in the overflow. You say, Pastor, where do you see this in the Bible? Well, there's a number of passages of Scripture where he says, I'm not only going to help you with this, but as a believer, you can actually live in the overflow. Think about the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more, what? Abundantly. So he's not saying I want you to act like your cup only has a little bit left in it. He says when I prepare that table in the wilderness, when I give you the Holy Spirit of God, it is something that can flow out of you. It's something, as it talked about in Matthew, I don't think I wrote that down yet. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 38. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that gives the idea of the overflow. It's going to flow out of you, rivers of living water. Psalms chapter 45, verse 7 says, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. You think about what it says there. God have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And I think that can be applicable to us today. He has anointed us with his Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And because of that, we should have gladness that's above everyone else. We should have a gladness that is not of this world, not seen in this world. Why is that? Because we should be living in, it should overflow through us, the gladness of the Holy Spirit of God. John 15:11 says, these things that I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Most of us say, yes, we need the joy of Christ in us. But he doesn't stay there. He doesn't just say that. He says that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. That it's not just something that is there. There is an overflow. That it's not just something, yes, I got a little bit of joy. I can make it through today. My joy is overflowing. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I see so many people that do not have the peace of God, that have maybe a little bit of peace. But he's saying the peace that God can offer a Christian is like that sheep out there. Instead of running around frantically, they've been anointed. And as they're anointed, they can go about doing their daily business, whatever's needed, because they've been anointed. And what it's saying here is that peace that passeth all understanding. It means the world will not understand it. The world's going to think that you should be in turmoil. The world's going to think that, hey, you can't have a table in the presence of the wilderness. You can't be lying down in the green pastures. You cannot not be fearful in the valley of the shadow of death. But he's saying, I don't want you to think about just peace. I don't want you to just think, okay, I'm going to be okay for today. He says, I want your peace, and I want you to walk through these valleys. I want you to follow the shepherd through all these things, and that peace is going to pass all understanding, that no one else will be able to understand that. That is a picture of living in the overflow. God has anointed and given to us the Holy Spirit. Because God has washed us clean by his precious blood, there should be a sweet fragrance given from our lives to the lost world. It should be evident that we have been with the Lord Jesus. We are God's children. We are not of this world. We are of the world to come. We are children of God by faith, and we know that the Lord is our personal Savior. So we should think and act the way that God would want us to act. The Bible teaches us that when we're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. At that moment, we trust Christ. He comes to live within us, and he is placed in us. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we are baptized into the body of Christ. And yes, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit again and again, and daily we should seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. Once again, you're not asking for more of the Holy Spirit, you are surrendering control of the Holy Spirit. And you can let God work in your heart and life and mind to where you can produce the fruits of the Spirit. Say, Pastor, nobody does that. Nobody lives in the overflow. Well, I bet you there's more than you think. Well, who is the person that lives in the overflow? It's the person who seeks for it. The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And once again, he said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask for him? I wonder how many of us tonight should take some time and say, I haven't been speaking to the Lord and saying, I haven't let your Spirit rule and reign in my life. I struggle with anger. I struggle with a lack of patience. I struggle with the things that are anti the fruit of the Spirit. These are things that I am struggling with, and I want to give these things. I repent of these things. I do not want to do those things anymore, and I want to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and take control of my life. I want him to fill me. I want him to help me. He's the only one that can give us that remedy. It'd be nice if we could anoint our head with some type of oil, and then that would fix everything, because we probably have, as we're leaving, well, maybe even when we're coming in, we'd be dumping stuff on people's head. That would be great if it worked that way, but that worked for the sheep. But God has given us something even greater. He has given us a Spirit. And as David comes and he's reading this and he's saying this, and I know he's coming towards the end, he's talking about, thou preparest the table in presence of my enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, talking about as we're entering into the house of the Lord forever. It's going to be a sweet smell and a sweet favor. And my cup runneth over, and I can imagine up in heaven, and it's going to be an overflowing thing. But here on earth, how many of us show and demonstrate the Holy Spirit working our lives? He just flows out of us. As it said there, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is the Holy Spirit of God ruling and reigning in your life, and is he demonstrating himself, Christ in you? And that's the hope we have, is that he can work in your hearts and lives. So as we're getting ready to close up in Psalms 23, it's a fantastic passage of scripture, and hopefully as you enjoyed learning a little bit about the sheep and the shepherd, because there are things that we need help with, and the Holy Spirit is the one that can help us from not focusing on the little things and fretting on the little things. God's got under control. The Holy Spirit is the one that can keep us away from the things of the world, and so we don't become contaminated with the things of the world. We're not going to lose our salvation, of course, but we don't want to be contaminated with the things of this world by rubbing heads or spending time letting things go through our mind. And the Holy Spirit is the one that can put us in our place and say, don't be like that ram that's butting heads with one another. Instead, it's for the sake of the gospel. We're striving together for the sake of the gospel. Tonight, thou anointest my head with oil. I enjoyed learning about the different sheep and the shepherds and how I think it can be an application to us. And the oil is a pretty picture throughout all the Bible. And the Holy Spirit lives within us. Let us yield to him. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.